Alessandra, tell us something about how the arts developed in your childhood up to the present. You came to us here in the United States and to Kalamazoo from Brazil, and the arts were a part of what you brought with you. I understand that you faced your share of obstacles along the way, so I wondered if you could tell us about that journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, growing up in São Paulo, Brazil, I was always encouraged to tap into creative outlets, right? So, dance, drawing, theater were really the primary art activities in my world. And, naturally they shifted priority, in priority over the years. And although I never learned to play a musical instrument, music was a constant in my world. It was there through my father, who was an avid record collector, and would play music all the time. And, also by the vast cultural opportunities to attend, concerts, performances, celebratory street dancing that took place during Carnaval, during the month of February. And then, there are these mid of the year, the June parties or Festas Juninas that took place back home. And these Festas Juninas were primarily meant to celebrate the fixtures of the Catholic sainthood. But then they also over time, and through colonization and, embedding practices, incorporated elements of Afro-Indigenous folklore. So those are beautiful, just fantastic.
You must miss all of that. Well, we have Mardi Gras in New Orleans, but you must miss all of that.
Exactly.
That sounds so colorful.
It's incredible. And I'm so glad you brought up New Orleans because, I could talk about that a little bit, but for many years, I came to the United States to study art. And, I was at the time naive and I thought that, oh, I could live life with just an art degree. It can happen. We can make it work. But at the same time, I came in with the confidence that I could study art because I really had a strong foundation I had a comprehensive artistic foundation, I believed, and was really, really passionate and wanted to follow through with that. But it's interesting that you name Mardi Gras because that was really after years of being in this country and then traveling to Mardi Gras with my family, traveling to New Orleans. Gosh, that felt so incredible to finally see what I was so accustomed to seeing as a child and to experiencing as a child. So just the combination of music and the visual arts and all of that happening at once, that was incredible. So that city holds a very, very special place in my heart. Through all of that, I think it's really interesting for me to think about the origins of my relationship to the arts. Like I said, it just feels like everything has been fully integrated both in the personal and the collective spheres. So I would not only do my own work through drawing or listening to music, but also that all took shape in group, right? So within the collective. And actually, many Brazilians have this really deep sense of connection to the arts. I'm just so often in awe of, my people's aesthetic and musical knowledge. It's just a part of our conversational repertoire. It just flows in conversation, which is really, really wonderful. And yeah, pursuing art here, I came to Western. There were some other personal reasons why I came to Western. I was seeking a long lost love, so that's also a beautiful story, but for
Oh
another
dear,
day,
we're going to
maybe.
want to hear that too.
And, there were many factors, like I said, kind of, leading to choosing Kalamazoo, choosing Western and all of that. But yeah, I think the obstacles might have been just integrating that or trying to figure out what it looked like to come from this, very rich cultural history and move into a place where I had to spend a lot of time getting accustomed to this new life, this new world, this
Oh,
new
I'm
culture,
sure.
this new way of being, right? So it's just so interesting how the arts then take this, they get put on the shelf for a minute. It's just interesting how that works within the system of acculturation. And I hope to be able to facilitate something different for people in the future in that regard. But yeah, I think that summarizes my background.
And yet you, when you went to Western, you trained in couple marriage and family therapy in your private practice now, and you're a psychotherapist along with an artist. I love the way you wove the two together. But how does the psychotherapy come into this?
Yeah. As I was studying art, I think I had to take I think it was called abnormal psychology at the time, and I was just enthralled with the discipline and started to take many classes and ended up getting, a psych minor actually with my art degree. And then years later decided to come into getting my master's. And I always wanted to pursue art therapy. And I should say that I am not an art therapist. Art therapy is a discipline that operates with the support of the American Art Therapy Association. And it's, these individuals possess required training and certification. But, I like to frame for myself that in my role as a psychotherapist, I am inviting clients to explore creativity as an avenue for self-discovery, right? Mm-hmm. So it just makes sense for me to offer this avenue for people I work with. I can't have this strong background in the arts and not, make these strong connections with well-being and, our psychology. So that feels really important. I do have a fair amount of freedom to introduce art-based practices to my clients and also to my retreat participants. I can do that without co-opting practices that are exclusive to the art therapy professionals. So that feels really within my scope. And my retreat participants and clients have over the years tapped into collage, painting, performance-based interventions, something that I love to do. And this is a family therapy intervention, actually, but it works really well with other creative interventions. It's called family sculpting. And that, to me, is just like the creme of la creme of all, interventions. I love it. And it's just it's just one of the examples of something that you can do in session that gets people out of the couch and out of the seat and really helps them get in touch with a different language, a different way of expressing what's going on for them internally.
So when you say family sculpting, I can understand that both metaphorically and literally. Do you have families actually get in there and sculpt in wood or clay, and in the process, the family itself gets sculpted, if you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, I can see how that needs clarification. So family sculpting is an intervention that was created by a family therapist by the name of Virginia Sautier. And what she proposed is that if we are working with a family, and I've done this with couples, I've done this with groups of retreat participants that had never met each other before, so all kinds of groups, really. It's not strictly to families. But the idea is that we get up from our seats, and then whatever theme that we're working with, we use our bodies to express the theme. So we're looking at the distance between people, the expressions that people have on their faces. So there's always a sculptor and the people who are being sculpted, the sculptor puts the people in the positions that they want, or respectfully asks that they take the position that they'd like. And at the end of the sculpting, you have a story. You have all kinds of indicators and nuances and ideas that come up just from this visual. So then sometimes, for my Women of Color retreat that I ran at the beginning of last year, we took photographs, and then we were able to talk about each of the stories that were told and the ways people were sculpted. And that can take, if people aren't in the room, let's say I'm working with an individual and we want to do a little family sculpting work. If I'm in person, working in person with them, that can take place with using puppets or using collage people or with drawing. There's just so much that can kind of emerge from that one activity. It's one activity and it's so rich because it allows for so much more to take shape.
And these retreats you mentioned, where did these happen? How do these happen? Are these individuals? Are these families again? Where do they go?
before the pandemic, I was really dedicating a lot of time to offering retreats. So the last retreats that I offered were one called Life Flow, and that was specifically for women of color who wanted to tap into the expressive arts as a form of liberation. So that happened at the Gilchrist Retreat Center, which is the Fetzer Institute Center. And so did Deep Intimacy, which is a couples retreat that I offered at Gilchrist as well. And Deep Intimacy, has many elements of creative expression, although it's not the focus of the retreat. That is a couples retreat based on intimacy and communication. And it does have, a fair amount of art interventions, but it's not the focus. Yeah, I hope to offer those again very soon.
And I understand that you have some future plans in the making of how you hope to help marginalized groups through art. Talk about that.
Yeah, so those are but not even baby. This is all gestational still, right? I'm pregnant with these things, but they're not yet out there. I just want to kind of go back to just some important pieces, I think, to note about art and the pandemic. So just, of course, I'm talking about all of these creative interventions and these things that can be done in person. But unfortunately, the pandemic has hindered this type of work in many ways. So, I'll say that I'm lucky that I have established a client caseload that for the most part already has a relationship to some form of creative expression. So many of them are just continuing to explore art as a coping mechanism, also as a restorative practice on their own. And they have some virtual guidance for me, of course, because we're doing only telehealth sessions. But these challenging times, I think that they demand that we have some sort of creative outlet just to help us navigate, to help us process, to get a break from, or to integrate the chaos that we're all experiencing. And I think it's important to name that the concept of creativity can be really broad, just highlighting that cooking and gardening, rearranging your space, sewing, creating playlists, doing your makeup, those are all forms of self-expression. So sometimes we get really hung up on a specific idea of what creativity needs to look like, and I think that those preconceptions keep us on the outside of creation, right? So we might think, I don't have the right supplies, or I don't know how to play an instrument, or I don't have time. And I don't know, it might be useful to challenge those perceived obstacles, really, and just to work towards developing a mindset that maybe trusts that we all have, creative potential. Under any circumstance, we can tap into our creative potential, if that makes sense. It's interesting because what I just said actually creates a conflict when I think about, future aspirations, just because, I'm often engaging with this. There's this internal dialogue about accessibility, about simplifying our notion of what creativity means and what it is and what it does for people, right? And that is paired with this painful awareness that this country has capitalized on every aspect of cultural expression. Think about concerts and festivals and museum entries. Everything requires money. And even the way, I sometimes, when I think about even art supplies, right, sometimes I become a bit, discouraged by how many supplies I don't have and haven't tried. And it's silly because at the end of the day, I really just use one or two supplies to create, right? I don't need a lot.
Yeah.
But this system that has capitalized cultural expression, it leaves many people who exist in the margins having to take many extra steps to participate in this very natural process, creating, generating, right? So bringing new things into the world is natural to all of us. All of us have this capacity. And yet the way our culture is shaped very much interferes with that for many people. So when it comes to how I'm just processing these ideas, I'm just, you know, this year I've been just really lucky to serve promising, just extremely gifted emerging artists of color in my private practice. And I think this work feels so relevant to the idea of amplifying voices and shifting our artistic narrative in a way that represents all of us, all of the time, not only some of the time, not only some of us. And I'm really leaning towards dedicating a large part of my work to developing a comprehensive mental health support framework for these particular creators and, you know, these perspective shapers. And of course, like I said, I reaffirm that creativity is in all of us and we all have, you know, this generative power inside of us and that we should be creating in any way we possibly can. But I do think that, there's a particular challenge to people who exist in the margins, and that I'm very focused in working with these people. You know, there's so many researchers, institutions, independent supporters who are leaning in this direction already of paying attention to these foundational supports to artists and, you know, so I want to be a part of this movement for sure. You know, I definitely, you know, want to move in that direction. And like I said before, it's very gestational. It's very, you know, I'm very much pregnant with the idea. And now, you know, I think the pandemic has allowed a lot of reflective time.
That's true. There is that silver lining that I think a lot of creative people that I've talked to, a lot of us get cabin fever, but a lot of us find that this is a time that we can be more introspective and quiet out the outside voices and focus a little bit more on our own creativity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how that looks like.
Talk a little bit, Alessandra, about your own artwork. It's beautiful. It's so rich with color and these voluptuous figures that you have. And we'll have some of them on our website. Tell us about your work personally.
Awesome. Thank you for that. So I am, it's my lifeline. There's nothing there's nothing else that I do that feels more in line with who I am at the core. So it's really important that I'm always in touch with some form of making, right? And some visual expression. And the latest work that I think you're going to post on the website is all digital. And for Mother's Day, My husband bought me an iPad for Mother's Day. So I decided that I would just play with that, right? And just see what happens. And I just didn't want to be in the basement. I have a little art corner in the basement that I like. And it's, you know, there are lots of supplies there, lots of things to do. But I just didn't want to be in the basement. I wanted to be mobile, especially in the spring. I wanted to be out gardening and sort of, you know, and just be outside. So the iPad was a good thing to take and take a break with every once in a while from gardening and being outside. And then I started the digital work is, it's so, so seductive because there's so many possibilities. You can shift your images in so many ways. And, you know, I think taking ownership of who I am now and, you know, the person I've become is showing in my work, you know, and I'm, you know, unapologetically enthusiastic about body positivity, you know, very enthusiastic about, you know, just the nakedness of the images. I know I understand that, you know, that's the first thing you know, but the nakedness is very much about vulnerability and about openness and about surrender, you know, and that's been a theme for me this year in a big way. So I'm glad you enjoy it. I am really happy with the outcome. I think it's, you know, I think it's starting to shape up in a way that is exciting. And yeah, I'm glad to hear that you like it.
And finally, Alessandra, did you marry that long lost love that you came here to pursue?
We're 20 years in the making.
There you go. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for spending a moment with us to tell us about your work and your artwork with others, and your artwork on your own.
You are so welcome. Thank you so much for this opportunity. And yeah, I look forward to connecting again.